Mislav just said off air, I'm dumb. I wholeheartedly agree.
Fuck yeah.
Just went to the toilet and then boarded a jug. We said, what is that for? He goes, just in case I need to pee again. You haven't drunk any liquids.
Yeah,
and it's got another V.
In fact.
I suppose, yeah, all right.
Ready, ready, wait,
you're
wait,
a genius, Mislav.
Wait. Oh, shit.
Excellent. Sound effects and background music. Citizen Khan. I'm sure you stay up to date with political events in America, but as your self-appointed US correspondent...
Thanks, mate.
James.
Thanks for presuming. Thanks for presuming that. Again.
I want to show you just how crazy things are getting. Aside from Trump appointing maniacs who don't know shit in the top positions, check out the new head of Department of Education, and bringing in Steve Bannon, and not attending security briefings, and Trump... you settlement talk of impeachment and wanting to defund NASA climate monitoring and so much more. The Green Party is now calling for a recount in MIWI. I'm not even going to try. Michigan, Wisconsin, so and good. PA, Pennsylvania. I doubt it'll change much. They've raised over $4 million to do so, which regardless of the outcome will probably shake things up a little more. It's hard to describe the current atmosphere here in the States. It's not good. I'm fortunate enough to live in, we call it the coastal elitist bubble. I don't know my fair share of bogans, though, a couple of my family members. But outside of that, good on you for using the term bogans instead of rednecks, James Khan. You've clearly been paying attention to the...
Yes, that's something that I did see earlier, and I was like, yeah, I give him props for that.
That kind of made me think it was just some guy.
Don't get
like
used
Queensland
to props, though, James Khan. You're very sure of yourself, aren't you?
Yeah.
Bloody Yanks.
Bloody Yanks, mate.
The podcast. Yeah, I know. Just but at the part same... of the, this is not part of the Anzac Treaty that we have with you.
Okay, actually, just on that point of him mentioning the bubble, tell me if you agree with this, Jordan. This is something that I actually want to like. You know how they always say like people on the coast live in a bubble? Don't you reckon Middle America is the actual bubble? Because if they think that they can get rid of trade with China, they can go back to coal, they can stop globalization, isn't that the bubble?
Actually, that's a really good point. James Khan, don't talk of yourself living in the bubble. You're what we call in the rest of the world, the world.
Pretty much, because like, except for Middle America, there's no other, like, there's no, except for like really right-wing European politicians, there's no one in the world that's saying, yeah, Trump's a good thing that's happening. Everyone's just like, no, this is just going to fuck shit up. The global order is going to, Middle America is the bubble. Let's call it out for what it is.
It's true. Yeah. It's just our 10% vote that goes to Pauline Hanson.
I do like the
massive 140 million person scale.
I like the idea.
Somebody
of
needs to thin out that herd.
I like the idea, I like the idea of something being non-globalist, community-based, state-based. You know, decision like variety of, you know, like a large variety of sort of ideas, but based in like as opposed to just blanket policy. So I don't think being globalist.
Yeah, but that's because as we've previously discussed on this podcast, Miss Love, your soul is a sack of potatoes with a side on with a lettering on the side that says Lehman and Shunge, delicious potato snacks used for a million things. Fries. Anyway, buy them. Everyone likes fries.
Chippies.
What?
Chippies.
Maybe it's the beat,
Ali, who is usually the political expert that can, you say, you throw a dart at a country and it's the Democratic Republic of the Congo, he's got all the facts about it, when
Ivory
he starts
Coast.
Going chippies
and when I'm the one who's confused by stuff, when you wig me out, what the hell is going on? Maybe it's the excess of V talking, but
here's the main point of what Citizen Khan says. Much of the feeling is that fed by the proliferation of fake and biased news sources, there's a general feeling of a civil, quote-unquote, war. I use the term war loosely. Isn't that far-fetched?
This guy's definitely from LA or San Fran or New York, right?
Well, let's do a little bit of Facebook profiling.
Yeah, let's see if he goes for the Red Sox or the Dodgers. See?
Gee. Which makes him from?
Red Sox is Boston. Dodgers is LA, I think. Oh, shit. Your thing just came out. Oh, he's got Churchill. He's got Churchill on his cover photo. What is that suggesting?
It's suggesting that
he's being ironic.
Political man. Why? Do you not like Churchill?
No, I don't not like Churchill. Dude,
by the way, here's an interesting tip about Trump. So when Trump went to the White House, there was a picture of Martin Luther
King. Jesus Christ, this says a lot about our podcast. Look at how distinguished Citizen Khan is.
What's it say?
Studied at Temple University, no less.
Where's that?
Sounds like a really scary Masonic? Religious
Very
school.
Masonic.
Where is it?
I have no idea. Just but then after that, Boston and Harvard, eh? Eh? College boy.
So I was right. What, Boston? Boy.
And now he's the founder and principal of the Global Carbon Capture and Utilization Alliance.
Wow.
This guy's a mover and shaker.
That's fair.
All the right things at all the right places, listening to three guys sitting on their ass on the left side of Australia.
Talking shit.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Talking absolute
Dude,
shit.
Dude, you must be bored.
Yeah, he's just realized that you can't capture global carbon and the world is just going to shit. There's nothing to do about it. He's gotten to that peak of intelligence where it's all over.
Yeah,
so
he just
sits there.
He wants to melt his brain. He just Googled biggest idiots in the world. And there's just a photo of us going, yeah, thumbs up.
Pretty much.
Made a gif of us, even though it's never happened, but snipped our faces in certain positions, so I'm sucking Miss Love's thumb over and over again. He just watches that along with David Bowie's music in the background going, there's a star man waiting in
oh
the sky.
Oh, God, this is going to become the weirdest podcast the way this is going. I can see
it. Should we actually, like, I want to, so Citizen Khan, the first thing that I would suggest is that I do understand that we're living in a very tough time.
Give
and
us
I
some
can only imagine that it's quite difficult for you. But what I would want you to stress on is not the situation that you've been put under, but what caused that situation to arise. So Trump seems to be a symptom, right? Let's look at ourselves. Let's see what we did wrong and try to rectify it. Because if we don't do that and just get rid of, even if we get rid of Trump, next after 4 years we get a Democrat, you'll have the same thing again. Don't treat cancer with a painkiller. So Trump may be a very bad thing right now, but he's symptomatic of the system that we have in part developed. So let's look at it, things that really matter.
So would you describe him as a cancer cell or as diarrhea? Flushing out the system.
Dude, like, okay, Trump will probably be diarrhea, not cancer.
If he nukes a country, explosive diarrhea.
Mexican diarrhea.
How
ironic.
Burrito Taco Tuesday night diarrhea.
As I self-professed what I'd like to think as a centrist. Let's not, or at least the one that
Ali,
isn't...
Is Miss Love a centrist? Let's settle this debate.
Dude, Miss Love is nothing. And that's kind of good, because then he can be molded into anything.
An imaginary friend of ours?
Fuck off. This is the reason why people hate people that are, like, uppity academics, bro. You can't call people nothing. Like,
hey, man, you got your president, right? I get to call you nothing.
No. Then people will hate you more. But anyway, like, let's just say, like...
But that might get me elected, because apparently people who pander to people are not getting elected anyway. So.
I love that you could call me
so elitist,
like a piece
mate. So
shit,
elitist.
A dumb fuck. A bum. All these things are fine, but as soon as you call him nothing, he goes, hey,
yeah,
I've got particles.
A sponge.
Don't tell me I don't have particles.
A sponge.
No, I meant like, okay, what's your political ideology?
No, well, we're an FBI. You have to be very left-wing, I suppose, but like, to a certain degree.
No, you can be whatever you want, but what are you?
I don't know what I am, but I'm saying like...
That's
as,
what I'm saying, baby.
Yeah,
you know what you are?
I'm a centrist. I try to look at all perspectives and try to figure out the most logical...
Centrist, by definition, would want to maintain the status quo, and that's not what you want to do, Miss Love.
Yeah, by definition, but I don't mean... I mean in terms of... I mean, it's not necessarily the status quo. It's like... You know, the status quo can shift, you know what I mean? It's not necessarily, the center doesn't represent the status quo. But all I'm saying...
Yeah,
all
but a center would want to preserve it. And even if it shifts, it'll move over
I want to preserve it. I wanted Obama in for another 4 years, essentially.
Again, that is something that a centrist would never do, because a centrist would recognize that there's 8 years in a president, and we work really hard to set up this in the Constitution, and in another term will only complicate things,
so
wouldn't go for it.
Yeah, but
so you saying that Obama gets another 4 year, by definition, will not make you a centrist.
No, that's not true, because I'm saying that it's not literally Obama, someone that represents the exact same ideals, which is someone that there wasn't a candidate doing that, so it can't be done.
Hillary Clinton was
Man,
that,
this,
and she lost
no, she,
on that.
Can I just say, this conversation is amazing. It is... a really advanced version of when you were in preschool, and then you go, I killed you with the wizard fireball, and they go, oh no, because I've got like this special eye shield, and
yeah, I just realized that we're from like CNN, and just like when there's like a conservative hack and a liberal hack, and then they're just fighting out, and as soon as they find some form of agreement, they get really scared for their job. They're like, holy shit, we might get fired, we need to keep disagreeing.
yeah just get out the normal points. No, I wasn't
you're
saying
listening to the sweet gravy train on CNN.
No, I wasn't even trying to support Trump. All I was saying was, you know, rather than sort of, you know, jumping on that sort of rhetoric of him being like Hitler or all that all over again, like, it's so boring. Like,
when
I'm
did
just
I
saying
say he was Hitler. Oh, that guy. Are you talking about Citizen Khan?
No, Trump.
He's not Hitler.
No. All I'm saying is like,
there's only one Donald, baby.
All I'm saying is,
All I'm saying is,
we don't, you know, I'm not saying, that a lot of his policies are even good. I'm saying he could do some good. It's possible.
Okay,
and all I'm saying is, it's got to be the upshot of the Donald Trump presidency. Make this hail to the chief. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not even living in the White House. He's living in Trump Tower. He's probably making all of his decisions in a jacuzzi and probably saying this at least 4 times a day. You call this a pastrami sandwich? Chucking it at a butler.
Do you think he's evil?
Mayonnaise falling in his eyes going, I'm blind. And chucking money at him going, don't chew me.
Yeah,
I don't think he's evil. I just think that he lives in. Yeah, he's.
I'm not even disagreeing with you guys. I'm just saying, I hate the guy that was like, "You had an apologist on your podcast." It's like, that's not really the kind of situation where, like, you know what I mean? Like, someone that can sort of look, at least with the. I'm not really there. I'm just kind of training myself and trying to educate myself to be. Legitimately try to look at everything with a fair perspective and open perspective and what seems logical and what works. But like,
I will say that Miss Love does have the most open perspective of anyone.
That is actually true. Which is very, very rare these days. We're now literally just doing trench warfare. We're literally just shooting each other
I'm against
our
that.
Like, yeah.
Every politics, election has become a war
dude,
of attrition.
But you know what? Like,
the Republican strategy to gaining office is to maintain Christianity as much as they can so they can keeping up with liberals who are coming in with heaps of Mexicans that have heaps of families, and their counterweight to that is having heaps of Christians that have really big families as well. That's what it's become.
No, but like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that Trump is Hitler or anything, but that's interesting, because if you look at it from a historical perspective, Hitler was a symptom of the time that we were living in at that point, and that he was a direct result, not just him, every fascist dictator that came around the same time was a direct result of the Great Depression. This era when a lot of people were losing things and they were really insecure. There was fear. And that's when, you know, people like Mussolini and Hitler rose up. Mm. Today, we're living in a similar situation where after 2008 financial crisis, we've reached the same point and we're looking at the same sort of results. So I'm not saying that Trump is Hitler, but there. You know, this is the same sort of thing and not leave aside Trump.
Mm.
Look at Europe everywhere. So in Germany, there's a potential of a right-wing fringe government coming up. Then in France, Marine Le Pen, who is a Trump, is gaining more and more prominence and may actually win the next election. If she doesn't win, it's going to be Sarkozy, who's again a right-wing dude. So there's literally very little hope.
But that's a different
in
story.
Austria, in
I think Europe's
everywhere.
I know, but I think Europe. I mean,
what they have in common is that there's a stagnation on both sides of the Atlantic, in the Americas and the Europe, and that is what's breeding. So that's the issue. That's what I was talking to Citizen Khan about as well.
Yeah.
Recognize what the issue is.
Yeah.
Trump is a symptom. He will continue to grow if the situation doesn't change. How do we rectify? We need a new dealers again. That's what I'm talking about.
Do you think it's okay to be nationalist, though? I'm not talking about the right-wing people.
No, being nationalist is fine, but is good in a way. You should be proud of your heritage, in a sense, but don't forget that we share common struggles, and everyone is looking for the same. And the best way to sort of deal with them is actually work together. That doesn't mean that you become a homogenous culture. But you shouldn't also be, you know, like, afraid of things.
Globalist chill. That's what... See, that's the thing. I think that I just... If you watch enough of InfoWars, you're like, everyone's going to be wearing the same clothes and we'll be the same society. Obviously, like, a dystopian vision of some sort of insane future.
Doesn't sound that bad if that's the worst that Alex Jones has to offer. Can you imagine walking into a Supre, a Target, Kmart? It's all the same. Why bother having all these different stores?
Breaking news.
Just make it one.
Breaking news, Jordan
Uniqlo's
Shanks.
Uniqlo's almost there.
Breaking news, Jordan Shanks is a globalist corporate shill. Who's paid you off? Who's paid you off?
Biased.
No, but you're right. Continue. I agree.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, it's a tough time, boys. That's what I'm saying. It's a tough time that we need to
Don't you think it almost comes down to philosophy? Like, I was watching something the other day, and it was something about the argument over whether the government or Wall Street or who was to blame for the financial crisis, or in terms of the fusion of the two, how they were working, who held more accountable, and just all this kind of stuff. And it basically, like, I was watching it and I just got to this point where I thought, like, it's almost like it almost comes to philosophy, where it's like, here are these base principles. Here's a system they put in place where it's like capitalism or whatever. Here's what happened. Here's the result. All that you can base that result on is a history of humankind. Similar situations, similar results. And you just have to kind of project what would happen and what, you know, what's worked and what hasn't worked. Like, it almost becomes like ethics. It's like so fucking, it's so frustrating. It becomes, you know what I mean?
But like, even then, like, you know, sometimes it's so easy to pinpoint at someone and say they're the reason why we're in this. So, like,
it's not
no love for Wall Street, but if you say Wall Street is the reason why we're in such a situation, again, like, you know, in a sense, but they're symptoms too.
Yeah,
we must recognize what happened.
It's like everything. Why is a symptom, it happened exactly,
and how? So, like, this story begins way before. This story begins with the gold standard changing. That's when things. And 2008 financial crisis was a point where it just couldn't sustain it anymore.
The gold.
Like, standard. We needed a different podcast to actually discuss what led to the 2008 financial crisis.
Yeah.
But again, it wasn't Wall Street. Wall Street will do whatever will make them money.
If and we on top of that, but I exactly, do like exactly. The that's image the thing. That's of the thing. Everybody in Wall Street being literal fat cats.
But dude,
always walking around in tuxedos and golden top hats.
But the thing,
licking milk from the gutters.
But that's what this guy was saying. Like, he was saying, the free market will dictate itself. It's like the fact, you know, Wall Street is just a representation of humanity. Humans are greedy. If Wall Street, I mean, businessmen are greedy. If you have an opportunity,
and they're not even greedy.
It's
they
not
were
a reflection
made
of humanity. It's a reflection of cunts.
No, it is a reflection of humanity,
it was,
dude.
It even is, then, like, without
everything is a reflection of humanity, but that is worst, shittest aspect of humanity by a mile. These people that...
Greed.
So removed from the people that they're screwing over.
But they were asked to do this. That's what I'm saying. That's where I'm saying the system is flawed. They were asked to do this.
Yeah, but it takes a special certain asshole to do it.
You have too much faith in humanity, dude. Everyone is greedy. Like, ask someone for a dollar in the street, wouldn't change their life. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's human nature.
I can guarantee you, in a million years,
I'm not saying it's right.
I would never get a job as a stockbroker.
Either would I.
It takes a certain type of dick.
Yeah, okay.
A
dick that can perform the task that is required. And in a sense, this
and
was...
And I've met these people in real life, right? Suits.
Oh, yeah, they're worst people in the world.
To be fair, I'm pretty sure I haven't met one, so I can't speak from, like, anecdotal evidence. Dude. But still...
You talking about the Rogers account? You got the Rogers account? Yeah. Nice. You want to go snowboarding? So when I was snowboarding, my snowboard cost like $5,000.
So do you think it just always has a price tag?
So do you think there's something inherently evil with Wall Street people?
Yeah, I reckon they're actually legitimately awful human beings. I think they're the exact opposite of the Dalai Lama.
It's an interesting thought. I don't agree. But
in every society, there would be these people. In the old days, what these people should be is when an assassin in a hood comes into a medieval town and there's some merchant on a raft that is more stick than paddle coming along and just being like, I have vases from the Orient. And he goes, you also have something else. And he goes, what? And he goes, the time watch. He goes, oh, I sold that a few years Mexico. Kind of thing. And then they just go, to who? And put a knife to his neck and he's like, I can't remember his name. But he comes from the east.
Sage and Rosemary from lands afar.
But that's the thing. Nobody ever puts a fucking knife to these people and goes, what happened in the global financial crisis?
That's true.
But dude.
Goldman Sachs.
There was.
They're the ones you need.
There was conservative people on, well, maybe not. Oh, I don't know if it was on Wall Street, but there was conservative people working in the Lower East Side of Manhattan that were like, yes, these people should be held accountable and there shouldn't have been a bailout.
Yeah,
and
because they were the ones that weren't caught, but they were probably doing something just as dodge, but it wasn't in the
house. And also, they were saying that when they weren't in government.
When? What do you mean?
So...
Oh, right. I don't know. I don't
need chat on Friendly Geordie's podcast.
So this is what happens when we do it late. It gets deep in the rabbit hole. I kind of like it.
You keep going because, sorry, I was really bad to introduce that. Yeah, but somebody just said money and I went, did somebody say money?
No, Ali, I think, keep talking, baby. Yes. I like it.
Look, the thing was that a lot of people that say that the bailout shouldn't happen was they were saying that after Obama came into power and then initiated that bailout. But let's not forget, when the 2008 financial crisis happened, immediately Bush also prepared a bailout.
Oh, of course, yeah. And I think the only person who might not have done it would have been, like, Ron Paul. Maybe.
Even he would have done it. Because, like, dude, nobody wants that stress of you're fucking in these big-ass banks and insurance companies basically going bankrupt.
Yeah.
And obviously you'll lose a lot of job and revenue. And this is what America depends on. This was the issue.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
America doesn't make money. America basically makes money off of everyone else's money, if that makes sense. So every country...
Donald Trump is the perfect embodiment of America. That's America's message to the world, right?
I'm really rich.
It didn't use... Yeah.
You should look at my bank account.
Yeah, but it's...
So many zeros.
It didn't used to
be. Look at his bank account. It says $10 billion. It says, that's the wrong figure.
It didn't used to be, though. It used to be like hard labor, break your back, and you can make it. Legitimately.
That was the impression that America liked to give off to the rest of the world.
Dude, come on.
The truth of the matter is, as Ali has pointed out, America is extremely resource rich. It's huge. The whole thing is filled with arable land and mighty timbers.
It's the ultimate...
2 days to go around a single tree.
Yeah, but...
American bald eagles flying into your windscreen. Like,
that is not how they, like, prospered.
Even the word America, in a sense, means heaven. Like, when the European conquerors went out, Europeans had this idea of a place called L'America, which was just this amazing place with insane amounts of gold and everything. And when they went to America's...
And just as they accurate called it as that. Australia's name,
exactly.
Which means southern land. It is land, and it is southern. Well done.
Great southern land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, Jordan, that's just old industry, you know, like old time, old world. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
But they built their wealth off that, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but the same way...
And they still have that wealth. They're still very rich in terms of, like, America's just... If you wanted, like, if you had the map and you could choose any country in the world, I would choose America to be my country, just because it's
Turkmenistan.
A landlocked... Well, they've got a lot of gas, but fuck that. America's got everything. They've got water, oil, gas.
They have kibbs.
Let's put it this way. I'm pretty sure that the greatest landmark in America would arguably be Mount Rushmore and... No, sorry. Awesome. Sorry, the Niagara Falls.
Mm.
And Turkmenistan's greatest national landmark is the Pit of Fire. It is a chemical fire that Soviet scientists...
Oh.
Accidentally exploded in the middle of the desert at some point and went and ran away from it, and it's still on fire now. And then the Prime Minister came 6 years ago and goes, this is a national embarrassment. This is going on fire for 40 years. We need to put this up.
You know,
still going.
You know, that's
still going.
I thought you were going to say he was going to be like, it's a national treasure and he wanted to put it on the flag or something.
No,
like,
it should be. It's there, Uluru. Like, that's the only reason why I want to go. It's just pure fire.
Like, the fire burns strong and true. Like, it's a representation of, like you know, prosperity through adversity.
It may be a shithole, but it's on fire.
I love that.
In that Katy Perry sense, not in the literal sense.
It's basically the tire fire in Springfield.
Oh my god, it is! I'm gonna
Nobody knows how it started, and dang if they know how to put it out.
But can we at least... I know. I guess we're just rambling about it in American stuff, but I don't know. All I keep coming back to when... And I honestly agree with you that, like, yes, America's foreign policy seems so scary. His ideas on, like, waterboarding fucked up, the environment fucked up. There's a lot of scary stuff. All I can really drop back on, and I suppose that is... I don't know. It's a naive, silly, romantic view of things, but it's like those old school ideals, like in terms of like that, the reason why people are captured by all those images, and I'm not saying that makes it right or Trump, he did to a sense trick people and go by those sort of old school ideals, but like there's something to be said for people that are like poor working class and still legitimately are like, freedom, prosperity, and a hope for all. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I know it's so naive of me, but part of me, I just see some guy, like, with some, like, working hard in the oil fields and the American flag just going, doo-doo-doo-doo, flagging in the wind. And it's like...
Does he look like a Santa Claus in a checkered shirt?
Exactly. Really big, like, strong jaw kind of thing and, like, looking to the sun. And it's like, people... That's enough for people to, like, be hopeful for the... for those old school ideas, and obviously that can't be your policy. I'm not saying like that's all you need, but like I just feel like sometimes
people forget that should be your policy.
No, people just forget that.
No,
people
like
forget
come on,
that.
Like I can obviously honest, sympathize
like,
with
the reason
that.
Why you like Donald Trump is because
no
he's fucking funny.
No. I don't like Donald Trump. I think he's just a symptom, like Ollie was saying, of he's just a projection. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why like he was there, but like
yeah.
I mean even like sorry, CNN and NBC were like the the PC police and the left have created this monster,
Is MSNBC and CNN were saying that?
Yeah. I think
Thank
so.
God. Well, they're I'm the pretty ones... sure that they were dismissing it outright as, well, this is just proven it. Racism is rife,
oh,
as
well.
Is sexism.
Oh, well, they...
but, like, again, this something that we call... Okay, again, this is something that I should... Like, this is really difficult for me to say as well, but the broad umbrella term that we use as political correctness, this was years of removing certain ideas from the public space. This was
great in the beginning, I think.
This is clearly something... that has backlash pretty bad. And the reason why this happened was, like, for example, like, just if recently someone's been following Australian news, Peter Dutton's parliament speech about singling out Lebanese Muslims as a huge mistake.
So we're in Australia now.
Yeah.
Yes. Lick this shit on. That'll go, Anna.
Yes, it is, Miss Love. Oh, that is so incredibly Australiana 80s. Everybody click on Ice House Great Southern Land, and there is footage of a man in a Fonzie jacket
Can
in
you
the
leave
middle
it?
Of
it's
the
so
outback,
just leave that
standing
shit
on a rock with really shit footage that they've obviously run out of and thought, crap, this is the only take we've got, and we don't have digital film back there, so they've just faded back into the same shot. And he does look a lot like Peter Dutton as well. So tell us what Dutton said.
Yeah, so Dutton basically said that that basically getting so many Lebanese Muslims in Australia was bad because disproportionately the terrorists that are found in Australia happen to be from that community.
Well, he's not wrong.
That's the thing. This is what I'm trying to stress. Even if he's not wrong. This is where the idea of political correctness came about. It's very detrimental because the people that he's referring to are now Australians. Either you decide that you're going to kick all of them out, or if you recognize that they're going to be a part of Australia, an immigration minister, irrespective of how true that statement is irresponsible in saying this because you're antagonizing them even further. Do you think that's going to help? Do you think singling them out as a member of the cabinet that calls the shots, singling out an entire community that are already there? It's not the question of, are we allowing them in? They're already there. They're going to continue to be in Australia. And now they don't like Australia as much. even if that's the case, even if you think that's true, there's certain things that a minister of immigration cannot say. And that's where the idea of political correctness came in, where we were trying to, in a bad way, maybe purge these things because we knew how detrimental they were. And then eventually we've reached a backlash where now we're now it's that, you know, I do understand that in a certain sense, he is right. But, you know, what does that mean? If it's right, do you mean you get to say whatever you want, irrespective of what the effects are going to be of that?
No, I agree. It doesn't help just to abuse them.
And this is being used in such a sinister way now because of...
Wait, are you saying that the whole point of political correctness is to not tell the truth?
In a sense,
again, I don't know if Lebanese people do cause the most terrorist attacks. Wouldn't be bloody surprised if it was, you know. I don't know.
Yeah,
we did not condone that statement.
No, but I've met a lot of Lebanese people in Lebanese restaurants. Don't really know that many personally, but they seem like nice guys to me all the time. They always
because
and, dude, anyone that calls you brother, you gotta love that guy, right?
Yeah, and the reason, look, even if there is a disproportionate amount of. Yeah. Even if there are a disproportionate amount of them, there's an even bigger population that is passive at this point. Do you want to make that even go worse? Do you want them? Okay, in terms of the percentage population, how many of them are just normal law-abiding Australians?
Okay, so you're saying that telling it like it is, even though you are telling it like it is, it's counterproductive, so shut the fuck up.
And it matters who says it. There's a reason why Obama doesn't use the word Islamic fundamentalism, because he recognizes that what he says matters. Do you think he does not believe that fundamentalism is Islamic? Do you think he's stupid?
Nah. Alex Jones.
And he has even said it. He said, when he was being criticized for not calling it what it was, he said, listen, I recognize what the issue is. Do you think me saying it is going to solve it?
Yeah, obviously.
If Peter Dutton's speech in Parliament about this will solve the issue, by all means do it. But do you recognize that it's only going to make worse? You know, like, sometimes you have to be a bit more nuanced. I understand that everyone likes people that tell it as it is. But, you know, sometimes nobody knows what it is. Sometimes there's multiple layers to what it could be.
Yeah, there is a massive difference between telling it like it is and I done reckon.
No, you're totally right. And, like, obviously Obama phrased it in the way that he did because he wanted to be sensitive to all the possibilities.
Not sensitive, to not be a propaganda material for fundamentalists that we are fighting.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's not forget that who we're fighting.
No, exactly. Yeah. No, and I understand that. I agree.
And like
that.
The president.
And that is the truth as well, is that traditionally, people from the right, when there used to be power in this is Terence McKenna's point, which is really bizarre, that everything that he always leads back, everything always leads back to mushrooms.
Well, like tripping.
Yeah, it's just this academic that has an incredible way of speaking.
Do you mean Joe Rogan?
He himself looks like a gnome.
Oh.
Do you mean Joe? No, I don't mean Joe Rogan, but he would definitely... He wishes he was Terence McKenna.
Right.
Much like Stephen Fry wishes that he was Oscar Wilde. He's got that yearning to be Terence McKenna.
Yeah.
But he was saying that power, true power is silent. I reckon that's a really good point.
True power is
silent. This faux power that you see where there's some Republican congressman standing up and going, somebody needs to assassinate Obama because he is threatening the Constitution, which I keep in my pocket. I think it's in the other one. Oh, God, the one day that I forgot it. That guy is not the face of power.
Yeah.
These little peripheries are just kind of, when somebody starts saying these outrageous claims like that, they've just turned into Alan Jones on the radio.
This
sense of power, but it's not really. It's just a guy yelling into a microphone, which is kind of what Peter Dutton is turning himself into at that point.
Yeah, and he's playing a dangerous game.
Alan Jones.
But just as rebuttal to that, there are people on the left saying Trump saying rape Melania. So it's not a one-sided insanity.
No, but how does that matter?
No, it doesn't matter. I'm just pointing that out as an example. But like,
this is something that I was actually telling Jordan earlier as well. This is really, really problematic and dangerous because Peter Dutton, after that happened, he was basically, Bill Shorten said that he should apologize like he would anyways. And then on Alan Jones, actually, Peter Dutton was saying that these elites cannot pressurize us to remain silent.
Yeah, you made a really good point about that.
And the term elite is frightening because what he's trying to make is that somehow anything to do with normal sense of decency is something that decency or even, you know, like nuanced politics is something that is elitist. And who is more of an elite than himself?
Yeah,
he's making the conservative ideology into somehow represent the working class and making anything that's liberal and left to be this elitist.
Yeah.
You know, this is tragic.
It's like
when this is going to affect so badly.
If
this continues to happen. And don't forget why he's doing it. He is doing it because he's now in a government that is very weak and he has to depend on people like Pauline Hanson and One Nation that are getting more and more powerful. So he is trying to preach to that choir.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know, we know what's happening. It's not rocket science why he's saying this and why he's using these words. He's not a dumb fuck. These guys have been focus grouped to the extent that he knows exactly what he's saying and who he is saying it to but and what the benefits are.
How much smarter is Ali than anybody else in the Australian media? And he's lived in this country for 2 years.
It's not hard to be smarter than anyone in Australia.
But I think, I know. But this goes number one, Ali. Number two, the girl from Strictly Ballroom.
Yeah, the project. I think, yeah, it is really worrying that he can sort of... I know what you're saying. It's like he's kind of realizes the power that sort of language holds.
Exactly. He's looking at Trump and saying, yeah, that's the way to get popular and get into government.
But I think you're undermining the general... the general knowledge of, like, the Australian citizens. It's not like... I don't think that there's going to be some sort of, like... There's reparations to that. Like, obviously, this is a big thing. This has been, like... You know, America has gone with sort of, like, this movement or whatever, the working class... What they see as the working class revolting. And there's... But there's always going to be fringe... Whenever there's some sort of ideology, there's always going to be fringe people that realize it can benefit them. I mean, like you said...
Absolutely.
That bloke saying that... That bloke, whatever his name is, calling Bill Shorten or whoever the elite is like pretty ridiculous. It's like someone, it's a buzzword. It's I know that this is going to get.
That's what I'm saying, Miss Love. Yeah. I 100% agree with you.
But the
issue is that bloke is the Minister of Immigration and he is no fringe. He is mainstream as it gets. But this guy is calling the shots at the moment.
Right.
And. This is no... If it was fringe, it's understandable. This is not fringe, man. These guys are mainstream. This guy... He is the government. Like, can get more main than that.
But was there...
Under the richest leader Australia has ever seen. Yeah, worth $125 million. And these guys are saying, oh, I don't know about these elitists over here.
Yeah, that's
Bill Shorten, who earned $120,000 a year sticking up for working families.
Yeah, Bill Shorten legitimately looks like his sleeves will be rolled up most of the time. You know what I mean? Like, he looks like he should be eating a Bunnings sausage when he's not talking at any moment. So you can't call him elitist. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, but on top of that, yes.
But
this is a really good. This is the theory that I had during the week. Don't you think that this is a really good gauge for who should be the leader in any election? And they're the one that never wins, but it should be the one that looks more like a principal.
Yeah, I'll pay that. I will pay that, dude. Mr. Grey running the country. Or Mr. Spink?
Nobody who knows that. Mr. David Spink would have been amazing. Mr. Spink would have been amazing. Scotland Yard.
Yeah.
And was our deputy principal.
He would have had
the one that used to always come over the intercom and go, Mr. Shanks to the deputy principal's office at once. Mr. And you would Shanks. Shit yourself.
Yeah, he was so scary. He was an ex-cop, used to be a cop. But he was very...
Detective.
Detective, yeah. But he was very diplomatic and reasonable. And there were times where...
But that's part of their act.
Exactly.
How they sit there and like, sit here,
it
mate,
is,
would you
it
like
is.
To have a Slim Jim?
Exactly. I remember he sent me up to the... sent me up to the office and I was like shaking in my little boots. And then he like essentially closed the door and was like riffing and like joking around. I was like, yeah, I'm not such a bad guy. You want some Starburst? I'm like, yes. And he's just like, all right, boys will be boys. Let's shock it down to that, but don't do it again. I was like, he's a genius. But yeah, I agree. Like, I agree. Politicians... Yeah.
Bill Shorten looks
to be...
like a principal, right? Dude, Malcolm Turnbull looks like a CEO. Yeah. Donald Trump looks like a conman.
Yeah, he does.
He looks like a guy who plays billionaires at parties.
Politicians... And do you know what he actually does for a living? He's a salesman. Donald Trump is like your fucking that guy who goes to like businesses and tries to hustle people to buying toner.
Yeah, exactly. He's a host from one of those 70s game shows where you'd go in a vat and all these dollar bills would go around you. You try and grab as many dollar bills as you can. You made $27. But what are you going to do with it? Buy some soap bars? Nice.
But that was part of his appeal. I mean, he was always referencing how much money had been lost under the Obama administration, just his trillions or whatever he was using, whatever he was saying. So he was like, I know how to... We're getting ripped off, and I don't know how to make good economic decisions.
Yeah, that's what that was part of his appeal.
Whether it's true or not,
which is a salesman pitch.
Well, yeah, obviously,
Hillary Clinton, perfect principal, just goes on these really long-winded waffles of things that have a vague theme that doesn't really correlate or reverberate throughout the entire speech.
Yeah,
and you sit there going, "Jesus, it's sunny out. Can we just..." Fucking sing the national anthem so we can get the fuck out of here. This is really boring.
That's so good.
And she had about the same size audience everywhere she went as a school, audience. About 500 people.
I don't know. I'm going to say every principal I have ever had has had a significant more amount of charisma than Hillary Clinton.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I think so.
Every single time it was going, I would like to make this speech about uniform. What a surprise.
The last still funny.
300 speeches were about uniform.
I don't know.
Uniform. Everybody can finish this. Uniform is not a choice. Yeah. It is a requirement.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
That's Hillary Clinton making a speech.
Well, put it this way. They had more balls than her, maybe. Possibly. At least.
Principal?
Yeah.
They were such pussies at PTA meetings. Imagine being a principal when you sit there with 50 parents. You know that 20 of them earn more than you. Sitting there going, what's with all the money going to the school musical? You should be buying another bubbler.
Dude. Jesus. Dude, that's not them being nice. That's them like, tailoring. That's them being salesmen. That's them just being like, radio. Let's not fuck it up this year. Need that holiday. Your son's doing great. Fair enough, you know. Like, they're just putting it on. Like, what are they going to say?
Yeah, but they're all salesmen who you know. Basically, they eat coffee grinds for lunch.
What?
That's how bad they're going. They just open up the old coffee machine after it's been rattled all morning, and then they're going, nyung, what are you doing? Like, Jim, you're going to go through lunch? Oh, no, I'm busy. I'm going to be working.
So they're homeless guys. Yeah, they couldn't even get dolphins. A can of tuna?
I'm pretty sure that you just said that into the microphone, but he's right. We've got to go, basically, because we want McDonald's, and I think it closes at 1:30, and it's 1:26 now.
Wait a sec.
That's not the reason. Like, we don't want to keep, like, two-hour pods all the time. Yeah, let's get Alex... Because nobody finishes them
I feel like we should do an Alex Jones and just go for, like, 20 hours, but that's maybe... Yeah, it's probably not a great idea. Do we have any more segments left?
We do, but we're not going to finish them.
Yeah.
See you next week, everybody.